series on the topic, the fear of the Lord. What is it? And what does it do? Next week, we are privileged to have that guy here, Henny Swart. He is our head theologian in Shofar. He runs our degree course, and he himself will bring this topic to the table. Should we follow Old Testament laws? A lot of you have been asking that question. It's something we haven't addressed because it's only come up to the table now. But every 10 years, we need to speak about this because you get these people that bring it back to the table, back to the table. So he's going to bury that for us. Amen? Next week. Don't miss it, but don't come next week without being mentally fresh because you're not going to last. Because he's going to start in fifth gear with words we'll have to Google and stuff. But just come and exercise your brain. Amen? Well, maybe there's a Google Translate, like difficult English to easy English. Is there something like that? But I'm excited for that. And here's an invitation, if you are really interested. Afterwards, Henny will be hosted in the Van Vollenhoven house. And he's going to have a bit of a Q&A, questions and answers. Difficult stuff. We'll put it on the table. So after church for 1 hour, if you want to come, you need to come give your name to me because there's only limited space. Okay? Awesome. Let's head into tonight. Head scratches. What is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? This is a glass. It's you can see through it, and it can take some other fluid. It's easy to describe. If you fall it, it breaks. It can cut your hand. You get them in different shapes, but it's easy to describe. I mean, and this is a table. It's got legs, and then it's got a flat top, and you can put something on it. But who wants to describe the fear of the Lord? And also stand corrected. No one. No one wants to do that because it's difficult. Who wants to explain the glory of God? No one, because it's difficult. And when we try, I mean, even love. I mean, the writer in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, it's so difficult. Love is such a big thing that we can say it's like this. It's like kindness. And it's like being slow to anger. And it's all these things, but it's not one of those things. It's all of them. Yeah, let's close that. And so you get these concepts that's actually from God. He loves to throw it on us because it means that we cannot understand everything, so we have to go to him. So what is love really? We're still figuring it out, but we just know there's a few things you don't do when you really love someone, and there's stuff you do, but we're discovering it. Amen? The glory of God. The fear of the Lord is the same. The same thing. So what I'm going to do is I cannot claim to understand this fully because I don't. But the Bible teaches us a few things. So we can ask, what does the fear of God look like? What does it do? What does it not do? And as we take these little bit of puzzles, we can get quite a good idea of what the fear of God looks like. It's like this. How do you know someone is born again? How do you know it? Anyone? You see the fruit. Can you see if someone is born again? Can you look and say, yes, that person knows God. If I looked very deep and long. No, you can't, but there's stuff that flows out of it, right? And the same with the fear of God. There's certain stuff that flows into your life, and there's a way in which you worship that you can say, you can answer yourself tonight, do I have a healthy understanding of the fear of the Lord? Okay. Are you with me? When I spoke in Pretoria, I was speaking on relationships, and they always ask me to talk about sex because I'm not shy, okay? So I always end up at all these churches talking on the stuff that other pastors don't want to talk about. Like, I get baits to talk about finances. Any case. So I asked them, what is love? And they shout, baby, don't hurt me. Is the Bible contradicting itself? Check this out. For God gave us a spirit not to fear. Or some translations will say God did not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and self-control. But just the very next scripture, if we compare it, it says the fear of the Lord leads to life. And whoever has it rests satisfied. Theo, you just preach my sermon. You're supposed to just encourage the people. And then you come and give my whole sermon. So we're in unity. Awesome. What's going on here? What's going on there on the screen? He did not give us a spirit of fear, but we should have the fear of the Lord because it leads to life and satisfaction. That's interesting. Let's just discover. Just the next question, what is fear? And I just went to a few of the pastors in there by the summit. We had the pastor summit after the conference, all the smart people together. So what I do the whole week is I ask questions and I write stuff down. And then I have a year's worth of sermons again. And Hanu overheard some of my stuff. He knows my techniques now. But I asked one of my friends, I said, just explain to me the fear of the Lord. I know it's big, but just give me your one-liner. Give me your biggest idea. Just give me something. And he's always a tense. Sometimes he gives me stuff. Other times he thinks he's wanting to judge my motives first. But he helped me a bit. And it came down to this. And I love this so much. Why do you, just think of yourself as a 5 or 6 or 10, maybe a 15-year-old kid. Why do you lie awake in bed? You know those evenings where maybe you had a bit of a fright or whatever and you put your blanket over your head. Who's had that experience? Only me. As a young boy, I had terrible nightmares at times. I ended up with my duvet over my head. I said, God. Why do we get that? Mom turns off the light, she leaves, and it's hell breaks loose. And for some of us, it carries on and it takes different forms. But why do we fear? And the best explanation we came up with is this. It's great, Dad can mow the lawn, okay? So the lawn is organized. He's got control over the lawn. He got a promotion, and he's doing well with the finances. He's in control of that. We've got food in our house. Oh, there's a light bulb. It went off. Oh, let's put a new one in. We are in control. And we've got a nice family gathering. Everyone is there. Opa and Oma's there. And in the middle of the next year, Opa dies. And he's not going to be there next year. And there's so much things we can control, but we did not see that coming. And there's nothing we could do about it. There's something out there. This universe is too big for us. And so we try and control stuff, and the more we try and control it, we realize we can't. And so we are afraid. Who's going to look out for me? Am I positioned well? Is someone going to protect me? What's going to happen to me in this universe? People start companies. One day you hire someone. The next day you fire another person. And then you die. And the cleaner lives. And we realize the way we package our mind, everything is wrong. What's going on? Where do I fit in? This world is too big for me to have control over. Are you with me? And so we have fear in our hearts. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. Let me ask this first. Is it a sin to fear? Is it a sin to have fear? Who says yes? Hands up. Who says no? Hands down. Hands up. Who says no? Okay. Who says it's a sin to fear? Hands up. Let's do it over. Okay. Who says it's okay to have fear? Hands up. Okay. It's a terrible question. But I just want you to think through this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear. Now everyone that puts up their hand, don't fear. Do not fear those who kill the body. That is baseline fear. I'm going to die. Okay, and then there's other fears. They're going to steal my stuff. They're going to hurt me. They're going to talk bad about me. But baseline, they're going to chop your head off, okay? Do not fear those who kill the body. And after that, have nothing more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. May you fear? Yes, you may. You must. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Not you, mate, I tell you, fear him. It's the fear of the Lord. We're going to unravel this. It's very tense in here. Hold on. This is the best thing that can come into your life. Who's in charge here? Okay, that's, can we get the next slide? That's a scripture if you want to write on. We're going to come back to that more than once. The main question here, you're a kid, you're in bed. Who is in charge here? In this universe today. Who's in charge? Because I tell you what, it's not me. Because I was sleeping nicely when that happened. That happened or that happened. I did not have control. Who's in charge? And so Christ knows all about it. He knows all about those fears in the night and those fears and worries you harness and grows within your heart. And he says, do not fear. Whichever can lead to death or humiliation or demotion or poverty. Don't fear. Don't fear that. Because you are going to die, but afterwards it can do nothing more. But fear him. Why fear God? Why is God using that word? We're going to get to that, okay? You get two types of fear. We just saw it. You get the fear of the Lord and you get every other fear. That's it. You get the fear of God and every other fear. Let me just do my little stupid questions again. Is it a sin to worship? No, but who? Who are you going to worship? Because I tell you what, you worship the wrong thing, it might not end well. Is there something wrong with worship? No, worship was never the issue. Is there something wrong with love? No, but if you are married, keep your heart on the wife God has given you. Do not love another woman. That is not just sin, it's stupid. Okay? Love is not the issue. The same with fear. Same with fear. You have fear, you're made like that. You'll never escape fear. Okay? But if you fear anything other than God, stuff will start to bear fruit in your life that you do not want there. Okay? But you can take all your fear and you can take it to God and things are going to work out in a miraculous way. And we're going to get there now. I'm going to give you 4 points tonight. The first one is the longest and the toughest. Don't lose me, then it's going to go fast. But you need to get the first one. Sê gou vir die ouetjie langs jou, die eerste een is belangrik. Okay, this is John writing the book of Revelation. He says he hears a voice. That's what happened just before this verse. He turns his head. You can go read it for yourself. And he starts to describe what he sees. And he sees Christ. And he goes ahead. He says, the hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice were like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars. With his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. Right now, if you are sensing, if you are feeling, that's my king. That's my king. Then you already understand where we're going tonight. And his face was like the sun, shining in full strength. And when I saw him, I fell as though dead. Now that is interesting. I fell as though dead. This is the one I love more than anything. He takes care of me. I long to see him. John, I mean, he walked with Jesus on earth and I can imagine him longing to see Christ and he's just going to hug him. Okay, he's just going to give high fives when he sees Jesus the first time he sees him. Bam! Out. Man down. Why? Let me just say this. I'm going to interrupt myself a lot tonight and I'm going to be okay with it. Are you okay with that? Let me just say this. You're going to fall dead before someone one day. You're going to fall dead before a throne fall before the right one. Because if you fall dead before the right one, you're going to be picked up. And you're going to worship. And you're going to say, thank you, God. I'm going to take you back to this verse. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. So, here's the thing. Let's say this is a way you can look at God. So you go and you start to worship God and you see, this amazing God, he is awesome. He's lovely and he's good. And listen, God is not a terrible person. We are talking about the fear of God now, all right? We're just putting it in a box for tonight. And as you go closer to worship him, this God who hates sin, you realize he hates sin. And we also have, why does he hate sin? Why is God in war with sin? Follow me here. Do you know that it is sin that causes young girls like this to be raped? That could be your daughter. Do you realize it's sin that kills babies? More babies every day in America gets killed than the day of the Twin Towers, the amount of casualties. Every day. Do you know it's sin that causes one of a marriage partner to leave another one and break a family apart? It comes from people, but it's sin. God hates sin. He loves those people. It's sin that causes someone to lift up a weapon and kill an innocent person. God hates sin. He loves people. And then as I'm before his throne, this is how the fear of God works. I realize it is in me also sin. And I tremble. And what comes to mind in my heart? Fear. It's in me also. And maybe it hasn't taken a form like I've just explained, but you realize it because you come into his presence and you're like, whoa, whoa, I don't know if I really want to stand in front of worship. I think I need to be at the back because something in me is registering conflict with God. And you fear him. There's no other word. It's not a respect. It's not a reverence. It's fear. This is what it is. It's terror. But now, as you come before him and you fear, there's something that comes to testify in your heart. The Holy Spirit, he says, he wants to take it out of you. Your sin, he wants to take it. It's good that you fear, but open your ears. He's talking. He wants to take what God hates out of you. Because he's paid. And so when the Father looks at you in the future, he won't see it anymore. So bow. Bow before him and say, I've got that stuff in me that you hate. Don't kill me. I give my life to you. Can you see how this turns out for you? And so you call out to him and you live. And this is what happened. The next slide. There's a prostitute. Everyone in town knew what she did. The Pharisees was there with Christ. She comes in with oil that she bought, very expensive, from sleeping around with men. And I guess some of them was those Pharisees as well. Okay? She comes in. All those Pharisees are sitting with Christ. They are interrogating Jesus Christ. Tell us about this. Tell us about that. This woman comes in. She falls flat on her face. Boom! Breaks the oil over his feet. And she cries over his feet. And she washes. It's the best way she could express this thing. It's in me, Lord. I've done it again last night. Take it out of me. There was no Bible. There was no sinner's prayer. There was no Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. There was nothing like this. She did it by the Holy Spirit. Flat on her face. I fear you. Everything I have. Boom, over his feet. Takes her hair. Dries his feet. And the Pharisees, you know how she got that money. And I can just see Christ looking at them. You have no idea what happened right now in that life. And he says to her, your sins are forgiven. First point for tonight. If we can go to number one, Paul. The fear of God will save your life. baseline. It will save your life. Isn't that amazing? Now, I want to say this. There is something that the Bible calls a spirit of fear. All right? And it says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. But here's the way you divide it. The spirit of fear always puts you into bondage and takes you away from God. You have fear in you. If the Holy Spirit gets hold of it, you always come closer and you get forgiveness. And you end up free. The fear of God leads to the joy of God. I don't know how it works, but God is good and you should fear Him and it works together. The moment you fear Him, you get joy. Any other fear will keep you awake. If this fear, the fear of God, keeps you awake, it's because you're praising and worshiping and crying over your gladness of what He's done in your life. Let's close that door as well. There's a storm coming. I'm hurrying up. Are you with me, everyone? It's tense in the plek. We're still at point number one. Check this verse. Changed my life. Surely, His salvation is near to those who fear Him. His salvation is so near. If you've come to the place where you're almost bowing before Him, you are terrified, but you're almost bowing. Let me tell you what salvation is so far away from you. The opposite is, you know what, God, He's chilled about my life. He's chilled about how I do things. One day, I will change my life. That is the exposition of the absolute neglect of the fear of God. The fear of God says, I must bow now. And it gets you life. Amen? Amazing. So, ask for the fear of God in your life. I've been praying for it the last few days. My life is changing all over again. I'm getting saved again. Everything is happening. Can I show you two types of ways to worship God? And I'm going to ask us quickly to almost show it physically. But I'm talking about a position of the heart. I've got 4 points. If I get to two and it starts raining, we'll worship and we'll finish, okay? So we'll be relaxed. Can you quickly stand up, everyone? Now I'm gonna talk about a position of the heart right now. So when I ask you to look at the person next to you, don't just see a physical body, see the position of the heart. Quickly stand like this. And keep your face very formal. Now imagine that's your heart. Zinta asblief mnistani. Like krikke gaan breek. Okay. And Jenna, you may sit as well. Where's Jenna? You're standing. Imagine this is the position of your heart. Your heart, okay? Because people can stand like this and connect with God in worship. Look around. God wants to come into the building because He wants to connect with His people upon invitation. Quickly look around, okay? Right. Now, scenario number two. Quickly put your hands in the air like this and look grateful. Look around you. Look around you. Now, keep your hands up like that, like some exercise, some CrossFit, okay? The Bible says, what does James 4 verse 8 says? Slimmers, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Who comes first? Who draws near first? He's already drawn near on the cross. He's waiting. Now, we started being worshipped. Quickly hand like this. Scenario number one, look around. Hands up, look grateful. Scenario number two. Where do you think is God going to feel most welcome to come with the gift of salvation? I'm not talking just about physical bodies. I'm not saying worship like this because that can be tradition as well. I'm talking about your heart. His salvation is near to those who fear him? Can we fear him in this place? More than anything else? It will go good with us. You can sit down. Let me just say this before I'm stepping off from this point. The fear of God can also be seen like this. Anu, my friend, he's very good in the kitchen. I don't know if you know that. He like came to our house. My mom was preparing soup for us. Ben was also there. Anu took a sip and he pulled his face like this. My mom said, there's all my spices, and Anu fixed it. Can we just give him a clap? Geluk, Anu. I'm just playing around. He really did fix it. But my mom said, Anu, please help. It was better. Okay. What was I want to say? Okay. Let's say you bake a cake. Anu, you can see that I can cook back. But, you know, there's eggs, I've heard, in cake. Right? Am I right? Okay. But is cake equal to eggs? Just because it's in it doesn't mean it's the same. Are you with me? Cake is not sugar. Otherwise, I'll just eat sugar on my birthday. It's not how it works. It's in there, but it is not the same thing. I've got a PPE pants at home. David Meiber gave it to me for where I mow the lawn. But let me tell you what, just because I got one, doesn't mean I work at Sasol. But if you work at Sasol, you will wear one. Are you with me? Now, the fear of God is like that. It part of the ingredients is a reverence for God. But it is not reverence for God. Because sometimes the fear of God will be expressed in joy. Okay? Sometimes it will be expressed in salvation. Is salvation the fear of God? No. It's something that comes through the pipe. Okay? Sometimes we don't like that word. So we say, no, God will never want us to fear him. He's talking about respect. No, respect is one thing that comes out with the fear of God. Are you with me? It's not equal to. It's there, okay? Are we together? Yes. I'm going on. I've got the slide up again. You guys are going to know this. Luke 12. Let's just hang it there to be as a backdrop for what I want to say. If you have two kings, let's say we're back in the old times, Lekkertorings, Konings, and Kastele, and we have this little town slap bang in the middle where the boundaries of the two kingdoms meet. And the one king comes to us the one day. He says, you will give 50% of all the grapes, all the grain, and all your cow's milk, everything you will bring to me for protection, or I will kill you. The next day, the other king comes, says the same thing. You will give me 50% of everything you have. You can come and live in my castle, but 50% of what you own will be mine. And you go back, you've had a little bit of a family meeting, your wife and the kids, miskien kom die dorpie by mekaar, like a bonfire. We've got a decision to make. How will that conversation go? One of these kings are going to kill you. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? You're going to go to the one you fear most. You're going to go and align with the one who will kill the other one quickly. Because you are taking your gifts. You are actually worshiping. Here's my grapes. Here's our grain. Here's our cows. Are you with me? I'm heading fast. Number two. What you fear most, you will worship in this world. Plain and simple. What you fear most, to that king, you will take your grain. Out of that will flow respect, reverence, love. You will take it to the one you fear most. Can I give you a few examples? Three examples quickly. There's something called the spirit of poverty. Who's heard about it? Okay, it's the fear of being poor. You can have a poverty mentality when you're very rich. You can have a poverty mentality when you have nothing. It's got nothing to do with the amount of money you have. But that thing will challenge your stance before God. Hear what I'm saying today. Because God's going to say, trust me, bring your tithe. And what is the spirit of poverty going to say? Don't trust him. You're going to get poor. Are you with me? And so you're going to bow before one, but the one in which you bow to is the one you are worship in this example. Are you with me, guys? You will bow before one. What you fear most, you will worship. If you talk about maybe a spirit of lust, sorry, these examples works well, okay? Sex, and there's a spirit of lust that tells you, you are missing out. You are throwing your life away. You will marry later. Give yourself to someone else. Trust me, this thing is inviting you. Yeah, he's such a nice person. He's such a gentleman. Everything except he wants to get in bed with you. And God says, trust me. Trust me. I'm going to look after you. You are so precious. Everything about you, I know you. I know your desire. Trust me. Trust me. And you're going to bow before one. Okay? And the one's going to give you protection, and the one is going to try and rip you apart. But what you fear most, you will bow to. Amen? Amen? Fear of man? Who's heard of the fear of man? You're in a difficult situation. All the guys are saying, let's do this. You know, this is not pleasing to God, but everyone does it. Holy Spirit said, you can stand up. You can stand up, boy. Got your back. You can do it. You can do it. Trust me, you can do it. The kingdom you fear most. You see why it's important to fear God more than man. What you fear most, you will worship. Exodus 23. Exodus. You shall not bow down to their gods or serve them. Nor do as they do, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars to pieces. Listen, point number three. Stop. What you fear most, you'll worship. Listen, if you get into this place of worshiping God, you will kick over every other god. This. And you'll have the power to do it. You will bow before one. Only one. But it's interesting how it works. As you come in fear, he says, I love you, get up. I fear you. I love you, get up. I want to be good to you. Go kick those things over. Are we all on one page, guys? Great. Oh, I love this. Exodus 20, verse 20. Check this out. Listen, those first two points are harsh. We're building this thing around. Moses said to the people, do not fear. Check this out. Do not fear, okay? For God has come to test you that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. You're going to fear something. Can you see that? You're going to fear something. Point number three. If you fear God, it will overpower every other possible fear that will come at you in this life. And let me tell you what, there is many, and they come in all shapes and sizes. But once you fear God, never ever again will you have to bow to another fear. Isn't that freeing? Just rewind your mind a bit to renewing your mind and what we did about capturing the electric fence. Those fears are going to come, telling you, yeah, you're not going to make it this month. And then you stand up, you say, I won't bow to that fear. I'm already bowing to my king. I've got only one God. Yeah, you're never going to make it in life. Shut up, Satan. I won't listen to you. I'm not bowing to that lie. It's a lie. It's garbage. I'm already bowing before someone. Can we go back to that scripture, please, Paul? Previous one. This is beautiful, guys. Do not fear, for God has come to you that the fear of him may be before you. This is powerful stuff. I can't say more than that on that verse. Just on the fear of God overpowers every other fear. Check this out. Just the psalm. This is just David rolling. He's saying, out of my distress I called on the Lord. That's the one I fear. But he answered me and set me free. This is the one This is what he does. The one I fear is the one that also loves me most. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? They can chop your head off. Okay. And it's happening. It's coming out. America, Australia, and then in those countries that we know about. And then your head is off. And then you go to God. We don't talk about this a lot, but let's talk about it because it's life. It doesn't happen here, but it's happening to our brothers in Syria today, probably. Amen? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me, who wants to put fear in me, right? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in God than to trust in princes. Can I translate that for you? It is better to fear the Lord than to fear princes. Amen. All nations surround me. In the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. They surround me, surrounded on every side. In the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. I've got nothing to fear. They surround me like bees. Like we do this full knee. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The one whom I fear most loves me most. Make a list of everyone and everything that can put one soul in hell. I tell you what, it's not a long list. It's only one point, God. You'll never have to fear again. Even for your own sin. That's the main fear, by the way. The main fear is the fear of judgment. Did you know that? And that's what dissipates before the throne of God, the throne of forgiveness. Okay? The fear of God overpowers every other fear. That's number three. That's it. And so sometimes in the Bible, God speaks through the prophets and they'll say something like, who can say to God, I made the heavens, eh? Who wants to stand up and say, hey, I made the sun? No one. It'll be silent. It's only one. That's our king. Doesn't it make you feel? The best answer I had on that scripture of he's got fire in his eyes and he's it's blood dripping from his horse and we put it on our small group and it was kind of a harsh scripture and then Niels' wife, she answered, you know that little face with the hearts in the eyes? And she posted that and she says, I love that man. That's what the fear of God does. That's the best response I've ever had on that. Wow, that's amazing. We have a good king. Just on that same point, going back to that scripture, I just want to give you insight into something and you'll enjoy this. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And that word fear is actually also translated cowardice. So the fruit of the fear of God brings up strength and reverence. Any other fear always plays back to me being a coward. Not being able to face what I actually am made to face. And so the Bible is saying God did not give us a spirit of cowardice. Okay? Does that make sense? So just to write that point again, if you want to. Fear of God overpowers every other fear or cowardice. Doesn't fit in there, but I'm also a spritz because it's such a good thing to remember. Okay, we're finishing up. Last point. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. Start with that. Fear Him. This is three different verses. I just want to show you quickly, give you a glimpse of the fruit of the fear of God. Number one, for those who fear Him will have no lack. The fear of God opens the doors of provision into your life. Isn't that how? Any other thing you fear will put you in bondage. But any other thing you worship will also put you in bondage. And just as you worship God, it brings provision. As you fear God, it goes together. Are you with me, guys? Just say, Yahweh is good. Okay? Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him. His eye is on those who fear Him. He's looking out for you, for those who hope in His steadfast love. Putting hope and fear now in the same sentence. It's very rich. How abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. Number four. God is a comfort to those who fear Him. This is the hard part of the fearing God. There's a lot of straight talk there, a lot of getting used to this word fear. Next week will be a bit, I think, easier, all right? But we need to see the whole picture here. It's interesting how many times, who's got eSword at home? It's a little app on your computer. You can Google. Type in the fear of the Lord is and see what it kicks out. A refuge. A place of safety. It's amazing the stuff that comes up. I was blown away by this. I want to tell you a quick story and then we're going to sing a song with Warren. If someone can tell me how to say this man's name, I will be so blessed. Can we have that picture of that woman on the screen? Moles? Horatio Spafford. He said it's a nice, like Irish. Now, this is a story I heard this week and it bowled me up. I hope I don't have to give the mic to Bates again tonight. I'll try and stand strong. Let me tell you what happened in this guy's life. A very rich man. This story is about the protection that the fear of God gives, okay? Very rich man lived in Chicago and there was a very big fire, I think around the 70s. Who knows that history? 1870, somewhere there. Big fire. Demolished the town, okay? And he lost most of his business enterprises or whatever, burned to the ground. Just before that, he's lost his son to sickness. And he still had a wife and four daughters. And he sent them to Europe, to England. He had some business partners there. And he was on his way there. He just had to close some work back in Chicago. And so he sent his wife and his four daughters. Actually, I have their names here. Just interesting. It's the 11-year-old Tanetta, the 9-year-old Elizabeth, or Bessie, the 5-year-old Margaret, and the 2-year-old Anna. His wife's name was also Anna. And they went in another vessel, another boat, ran into them, and the boat sunk. And everyone died of his family, except his wife. And she went on to Europe, and she sent him a message. I think it's a telegraph or something. And who knows telegraphs? Is that that thing, eh? No. Telegram. Any case, but it had to be very short. And this was a message. Survived alone. And the message reached him. And he got into the next, but he lost his son, lost his money, lost all his children, only his wife left. Got on a boat, and he made his way to Europe. And when he was, when they were going over the specific place where that boat sank, the captain says, "Here lies your daughters," at that specific place. And the man got to his knees and he wrote a song. He was a believer. And can we stand? We're going to sing that song. This is the song he wrote. Because he knew God and he feared God and he was safe in God. And I asked Warren this afternoon to do it, so we're going to do it nice and acoustically. You can just read the words if you want to. But I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to pray a prayer under your breath. I want you to say, "Holy Spirit, show me what it means for me to fear God."